I want to start a new series. We were talking about free, but I want to kind of go from free to talking about stress-free. Somebody say stress-free. And I just want to talk to you about the importance. How many know God has called us? The Bible says to whom, to who is set free is free indeed. And yet, I believe that there's that in the world, we can, in the midst of just the pressures of work and school and family and on and on and on, even those of us who are designed to live free of stress, we're not that way. And I'm not here to criticize you, but I am here to encourage you and to remind you that there is a way to live where you can be free of stress. Now, like what we talked about earlier, that's not going to happen coincidentally. You have to be really on purpose on this. That's why I want to teach about this. And a couple of facts for you to understand just as we get started. 43% of adults have some kind of medical issue related to stress in America. 43, almost half of everyone walking around has a medical issue related to stress. How many know that is a lot of people? Listen to this. 75 to 90% of all doctor visits are somehow related to stress. That is a lot. So most people making doctor visits, whether they recognize it or not, it's related to some stress in their life. How many know stress is causes medical issues? Okay. All right, good. And then listen to this. An estimated 100 and million deaths in America per year are attributed to stress. Over 100 million a year. I mean, that's a ton of people. Don't know. Good question. You know what that is? That's seven people every 2 seconds. So I want us to look in the Word. How many know the Word has some answers to these issues? Turn to Genesis, the first chapter in Genesis. And go ahead, turn to the first chapter. If you're taking notes, if you're in Category Righteousness, I know you are. If you're not in Category Righteousness, take notes anyway. You'll get more out of every single Bible study, because you'll remember more of what you write down. First point is this. We are all designed by God for His purpose. We are all designed by God for His purpose. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 29. Look what it says. You know this. 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image." Everybody say, "In our own image." "According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every other creeping thing that creeps on earth." Now, I don't have time tonight to talk about dominion. I love to go there. But what I want you to notice tonight is God's purposefulness in how He made you. How many know every single one of us, if we had something where we could, you know, do your fingerprint, and we fingerprinted every single one of you, how many know nobody would go, wow, your fingerprint is just like mine? How many know, but how many know if we had 1,000 people, it wouldn't happen? How many know if we had 10,000 people, it wouldn't happen? How many know if we had 1,000,000 people, it wouldn't happen? How many know if you had 1,000,000,000 people, it wouldn't happen? How many know if you had every person in the world? How many know that would take a little while to get through? But none of them would go, wow, yours is just like mine. Here's why: because God made you specifically the way he wanted to make you. It's so important that we recognize that. Listen to me. Because it's so important that we understand how individually we are made. Now, why is that important? Because it should make you feel special. You know, you're not one in 1,000,000. You're one in 8 billion. That's what you are. And not only the 8 billion that are walking the face of this earth, there never has anybody been ever anyone like you, ever that lived, ever. That's how special you are to God. And as special as you are to God, watch this, you're made specially, watch this, not just an individual. Say it like this. How many know that this watch was made for a certain purpose? Does that make sense? How many know if I put this, you know what, on the stove and put eggs on it, I couldn't fry anything with my watch? I'm just gonna put eggs. You say, Pastor, that's so stupid. How many know if I got two watches and put them in my eyes, it wouldn't help me to see better? Amen. You know, how many know if I had this watch on my head, you know what I mean, acting like it's a hat, you'd go, Pastor's lost it. How many know this won't work as a belt for me? Amen. See, things are made for a specific purpose. Do you understand? And not only are you unique, but I want you to catch this. You're not only unique, but you're uniquely made for a very special purpose. See, I would contend with you tonight, or suggest to you tonight, that there's a specific purpose that you were created for. And one of the reasons why we walk in a stress environment is because, can I be honest with somebody tonight? That we do not submit ourselves to the will of God. Does that make sense? So when you don't submit yourself to the will of God, there is this frustration that, I'm telling you what, you will always live in. Can we go deeper? I say, can we go deeper? When we first came over to the South Sanctuary, we had so much more room. Many of you weren't here yet. And somebody suggested, Pastor, let's just go back to one service. It'll be a lot funner because the place will be more packed and we don't have to go to two services. And I didn't say, oh, let me think about it. I didn't say, oh, let me pray about it. Here's what I said. I said, absolutely not. I said, Pastor, why do you say that? Because we were designed not to come and sit. We were designed to sit and to serve. One of the biggest problems in the body of Christ today is that the church in its DNA, I'm talking about the church in America in 2019, has accepted a wrong mindset, a mindset of it's okay just to come and listen to the Word of God. And I would say, absolutely not. It is not how you're designed. And I will say this, because maybe you're here tonight and maybe you're just, you don't sit and serve. All you do is come and you don't do anything. I would say this, get involved, because freely you have received, freely give. It's not okay that, you know what, people are in the, you are here to be part of the solution. You are here to be part of the answer. You are here, listen, you're here to be one of the ministers in Pico Rivera. Does that make sense? So praise God. I tell the usher, I won't allow the ushers anymore to just come and sit. Come to one service and just sit, you know what, and just serve during praise and worship, listen to the preaching, and then go home. I said, we ain't doing that anymore. Amen? Here's what I tell the ushers. You come. Do I not say this? I say, here, you come and you relax. And have a brownie, and have a croissant, and have a tea. And if you're sitting in the service, and just raise up your hands and worship God, and let me minister to you during the preaching, and enjoy yourself, and relax, and have fun, and let me serve you. But at 11 o'clock, you know what? I don't want to see no croissant out of the side of your mouth. You put the tea down, amen. I don't want to see you in the back. Ooh, Pastor. I don't want you closing your eyes, worshiping God. No, no. No, that wasn't. No. You were the 9 o'clock. Now it's time for you to serve, amen. Yeah, but where's the word? No. You want more worship? Then you worship on the way home, amen, in your car. I'm serious. Worship God. How many know we ought to do more than just drive around in our cars listening to play that funky music, white boy? Amen? Amen? You can worship on the way home. Amen? You can worship coming here. You can worship in the 9. But at 11 o'clock, if you're serving, you know what? You pay attention. Because we're serving that service. Amen? And I would submit to you. And I'm not against you. If you're not serving, I'm not against you. I'm for you. I'm for you. I'm saying there could be a deficit that you need to bring it. You know what? Just recognize. You know, you're not. There's a frustration because you're not functioning in your design. You were designed to not only to be served, but to serve. Does that make sense? Amen. And Tamara and I, we want to serve you. Don't think we don't, because we do. But one of the ways we're going to serve you is by telling you the truth. And I'm telling you what, if all you do is sit, there could be a lot of stress that is taking place. Why? Because you're a boat. And you're on the freeway, amen? You know what? You're a watch, but you're, you know, having eggs cracked on you. You know what I mean? You know what? You're out of purpose. And what we've done in the church in America is we have, can I be honest with somebody? We have pandered to people just hoping that they won't leave. You know what? The church of, I ain't going to say anything because I don't want you to leave my church. Amen. We just want to grow a big church. So we go a big church and everybody's, you know what, nobody's doing anything. And we got the pastor running around with his head cut off with his wife, you know, trying to do everything. And you know what? And they're not supposed to do that. Can you say amen to this? No, Pastor, you're supposed to do something. Yeah, well, what do you think I'm supposed to do? Jackson? No, biblically, what do you think Tamara and I are supposed to do? Here's what we're supposed to do according to the Word of God. We're supposed to pray and we're supposed to study the Word of God. Amen? Does that make sense? I'm just telling you what we're supposed to do. And that, a lot, you know what? And listen, here's the truth. Here's the truth. And anyone who knows Tamara and I will know this is the truth. We have to discipline ourselves to not get involved in the kitchen. Why? Because, here's the truth, because Tamara and I are hard workers. I'm a hard worker. And as hard a worker as I am, Tamara's a harder worker. Here's what we understand. We understand that it takes effort to build the kingdom of God. And we're not afraid to do it. And we will do whatever God asks us to do. But if we're going to grow, the Bible says that the church grows as each part does its share. You got to share. You got a part. And so, bring in your part. And Paul says, how is it that you come and you're not ready to do anything? Wow. Paul scratches his head on that, says, I don't get that. Each one of you should come prepared to give. Does that make sense? And a lot of stress is taking place. I'm not talking about non-Christians. I'm talking about Christians. Now, I remember I wasn't frustrated because I knew that I knew that it was going to take place in its right timing. But I never forget, it was about the and I was still working at Albertsons. But I remember about the second month that I was here pastoring this church. And I remember just lying in bed saying, man, this is what I'm called to do. This is what I'm called to do. I remember when I was children's pastor. I remember when Pastor Bradford asked me in the office, and all I was doing, I was working with the youth. Wasn't on staff, just volunteer working with the youth. And I remember when Pastor Bradford called me in and he said, you know what, Drew, would like to hire you part-time as our children's pastor to work in the Christian Education Department and lead the Christian Education Department. He said, Pastor, how much experience did you have in children's ministry? Like close to nothing. But I remember going home and just knowing that God was going to grace me with the ability to be an awesome children's pastor. And you know what? I mean, and you know. And God blessed that ministry. I tell you what, if God hadn't called me to be a senior pastor, I tell you what I would do. I would be a children's pastor. And I would rock it, amen. Because I loved being a children's pastor. I loved it. Loved it. Why? Because I flourished in it. See, what you've got to understand is, there is stress in your life when you resist God and His purposes. So your flesh might not like it. But listen to me. Can I be honest with somebody? But your flesh is an idiot. Can somebody say amen to this? Amen? And can I be honest with somebody? Can I be honest with you? Can I? And you're an idiot for listening to an idiot. Amen? Are we not? Why are we listening to the flesh? Flesh don't know. You know what? No. Let the Spirit lead you. How many times has the Spirit told you to do something you don't want to do? You got to grab yourself by the lapel and say, get in there, man. But once you're in there, you recognize, oh my goodness, I love working with the threes and fours. I love ministry. I love, you know, whatever it is. When I would wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning because I had to go down to church and blow off. What's blowing off? Blowing off is, you know what the gardeners do. Amen. After they're all done, they put those down. You know what? If you went to Pastor Bradford's church and it's 5:30 in the morning, what you'd see? You'd see me going. But I tell you what, I love blowing off. Love blowing off? Yeah. Why? Because I was in my purpose. Do you understand? There's stress taking place big time in the body of Christ because people that are called to do something aren't flowing with what you're called to do. Amen. So understand, you're called as an individual, very, very special, but you're not just called with a unique, you're not just unique, you're uniquely designed for his purpose. Amen. How many know there is no other Pastor Drew in America? Come on, can somebody say amen to this? Amen. One and only, amen. Praise God. And I'm glad to be that. And I love preaching the gospel. And I, amen. And I love preaching the gospel. And I love you. Why? Because I'm in the purpose. There's this non, you know, I had John who designed this, or not designed this, but built this. This outdoor project, this is like a little patio for John. Amen. Really, it's a little patio for John. John builds grocery stores. I mean, these, you ever been to a new Whole Foods? They are elaborate. They are detailed. They got outside patios. They got delis. They're upstairs, downstairs, elaborate. And he does those all over Southern California, all over Utah, all over Colorado, all over Texas now. I mean, he is, and he says, Drew, I am so, he told me on Wednesday, Drew, I am so busy that the only work I'm taking is the work that I want to take. Amen. That's how busy I am. And I thought to myself, and so I was talking to John the other day. I like to talk to people who are smart, you know what I mean? I like to pick their brain, and I found that good leadership helps, you know what I mean? And so I was talking to John. I said, hey, John, talk to me about how you are able to orchestrate all this. You know what John told me? He said, well, Pastor Drew, let me just say this. It's just by God's grace. But let me say this to you. How in the world do you do what you do? Here's what John said to me. He said, because can I tell you what? I can't imagine a harder job than you have. Now listen to me. I thought to myself, my job is way easier than your job. You got all this money, all this pressure, all these employees, all over now, not just Southern California, all over the Western states, all this stuff that you orchestrate, the whole, And John's saying to me, I tell you, the hardest job is your job, Pastor. So how come I think his job's the hardest, and how come he thinks my job's the hardest? Can I tell you why? Because I'm in my lane. Does that make sense? John's in his lane. He said, I'm probably going to retire in a year. He said this. He said this to me Wednesday. He said, but just so you know, I love doing what I'm doing. See, there's so much stress that we don't have to be under if we would just understand our purpose. Amen? Can I go even a little deeper?
Yes.
Let me go a little deeper. Can I go a little deeper?
Yes.
And I would submit to you that part of your purpose is to serve in the local church. I would submit to you that is really your main purpose. I would just submit to you. I'm not saying that you're not called to be a plumber. Can you get me one of the cards? I'm not saying you're not made to be a plumber. Amen? But I would say to you this. Thank you. I would say to you this, that if you're a plumber, your calling is to have a bunch of these in your truck. And your calling is to have a bunch of these in your wallet. And your calling is to go in and not be grumpy and frumpy and whiny and complaining and and you know what, and complaining about your company and complaining about your boss and complaining about your, you know what, your conditions, and complaining about you don't make enough money and complaining about you hate working in the rain and boom, 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 boom. And then, you know what, and then, oh, yeah, yeah, and come to my church. It's really a good church. You know, no. I would say this. That you know what, the fact, and maybe you have a tendency, maybe you have a God-given ability to be a good plumber. I don't doubt that for a minute. But I would submit to you that your plumbing is just a means to an end. What's the end? The end is twofold. One, that you might have something to be able to bring, a financial part that you can bring into the family of God. Amen, 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 amen. Number one. And number two, that you are now a secret agent in people's houses every single day. In a house here, in a house there, in a house here, in a house here, many houses in several days, all with your secret agent cards. Amen. Do you understand? Amen. And as long as I'm talking about that, can I go a little deeper? I'm not talking about you're working in the grocery store, your break is supposed to be 15 minutes, and you're spending 45 minutes in intercessory prayer with the person who's going through a divorce. That's not what I'm talking about. Because that is a bad witness. Amen, 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 amen. That person that hired you to work in the grocery store intends for you to work in the grocery store. Amen? Does all that make sense? I get a little annoyed that Christian people sometimes are the worst employees. I won't say that, but it's true sometimes. I guess I just did say that. Amen? I'm not saying all the time. I'm just saying, you know what? You know, be the best employee, not the worst employee. That's not a good witness. So you're called, your purpose is called, you were born for a certain purpose. And part of that purpose is that you are creating something. You're an ambassador of God, the Bible says. All right, does that make sense? Wow, moving right along. Pastor, you spent a long time on that first point. Okay. I did. Second point is this. We are to work from our work, not rest from our work. We are to rest from our work, work from our rest, not rest from our work. Never mind, I'll just tell you what that means. I'll just tell you what it means. Just forget that. Just listen to me. Here's what I'm trying to say. That don't make any sense, but I'll make sense to you. Here's what it means. It means that many times we work, and then rest. And we're resting because we're so worn out. Here's what I mean. Be more purposeful in your rest. The part of the Ten Commandments, one of the commandments is to rest. So there's this purposefulness on your rest. Let me give you another example. It's a great example. When I wake up in the morning, and you say, when do you wake up in the morning? Well, sometimes I wake up at now, sometimes I wake up, and I'm not trying to, you know, it's like, oh, I'm so holy. I wake up at 3 a.m. and pray. Whatever. I'm just trying to be honest with you. But sometimes I wake up at 3 a.m. and pray. Sometimes I wake up at 4 a.m. and pray. And sometimes, depending on the day is, because of my schedule, sometimes I'll wake up at 5 a.m. or 5:30 a.m. And then after I get done praying, I'm not able to go back to bed. But sometimes I'm able to pray early enough in the morning that I go back to bed. But here's what I'm saying, that when I wake up really early in the morning and I pray, sometimes I'll be praying and I won't be done praying. What does that mean? It means I'm not done. I pray a certain amount of time, but sometimes I pray way longer than that time. What are you doing? I'm allowing the Holy Spirit, I'm connecting to God. I am the vine, He is the vine, I'm the branch. And when we connect ourselves to Him, we produce much fruit. Does that make sense? So what happens with our rest, we don't even understand the tithe, or we don't even understand the Sabbath. The Sabbath is God talking about this purposefulness, that you become purposeful and connect with God, connect with God, connect with God, connect with God, connect with God. Now you're going to work, and man, you're just full of God. You're wall-to-wall God, amen? You're prayed up, you're stirred up, you're purposeful. It's not this kind of rest. You work, 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 you work. You're exhausted. Oh, I'm going to rest. See, that's stressful. And then you rest as much as you can, and then you're like, I got to go back to work. And then you work, 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 you work. That's what happens even in the body of Christ. God say, no, that's not what I want. I want you purposeful. And I would say, not only do we need to have a Sabbath and keep it holy, but we need to have a Sabbath every day. Does that make sense? That there's this filling up. That now I am purposeful in my work. My rest was purposeful. Is the light going on to anyone? So there's this purposefulness. So God doesn't get the last. He gets the first. And I'll tell you what, it'll change everything in your life. Again, stress is coming because we got chaos in our life. And we have chaos in our life because we have everything backwards. God is saying, no, don't work, 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 and then rest because you're so exhausted. Rest and allow me to fill you and then be purposeful. Do you see the difference? Huge difference. Big difference. And it will change your it'll change everything. I can't go back to sleep when I wake up in the morning. Why? Because I'm just like, oh, I got to get filled up. I got to filled up. And then sometimes I'll get filled up and I'm praying from 3 to 4. And then I go back to bed and I'm like, oh, man, it's sweet. But at 4 o'clock sometimes I've been praying for 45 minutes and I'm not done. Why am I not done? You know, it's like your phone. You know what I mean? You ever plug in your phone? You got 15% with the charge? I don't want 15% of a charge. God, fill me. I need to be purposeful today. I got stuff to do today. I want to be at your purposes today. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And then lastly, and we'll stop with this. What's this? Amen. In John chapter 15, it says, abide in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. You remember that? Do you remember that? But then in the same chapter, chapter 15, if you go down to verse 10, it says this: if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. What's my last point? My last point is this: stress-free life is the obedient life. There's a passage, there's a passage in Romans, and it says that this authority was given by God, and if you obey that authority, then you're going to have a stress-free life. I use the example, you know what, when somebody pulls you over, when the red lights go on, you know, not you, but your friends. Amen. Not you, but your friends. There was a time when those red lights would go on and you'd be freaked out. No, I'm sorry. Not you, but your friends. Why? Because there was all kinds of stuff in that car that shouldn't be in that car. Amen. And you were freaked out. Amen. You know, how many know now they pull you over and you're like, You know, hello, let me pray and bless you, officer. Yeah, I'm just saying, you might be speeding, but how many know it's a different world now? Why? Because you are, it's the same way. When you're obedient to God, there's this peace that happens. Part of the stress that happens in even Christian people's lives is because they're out of order. They're called to do something and they're not doing it and they're resisting God and they're not generous or they're not, you know what, they're not forgiving or whatever. And listen. What, you know, God tells one of the brothers way back in Genesis, hey, don't you know? All you have to do is make it right with God. How many know God's not punitive? We don't serve a punitive God. We serve a God that wants you to come to him and say, I'm sorry. I mean, God is quick to forgive us. So my last point is this, but it's a great point. Maybe we're walking in the stress that we're not called to walk in just because we just need to get in order with what God is asking us to do. Don't resist God. You know what God tells Paul? He says, why are you kicking against a goad? You know what goad was? It was a sharp stick designed to motivate animals, big animals that wouldn't move. He says, Paul, you're coming against me. You're kicking a sharp stick and it's blooding you up. God's for you. How many know we just need to get for God? How many are receiving this tonight? Father, you see the hands that are up. Help us to live stressless lives by being obedient to you, by spending time with you, by loving you, by caring about you, God, by understanding, by serving, by just getting in your order. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.